statement to our podium. Magical. Even in the most adverse circumstances, children have this amazing capacity to still believe in magic. Or perhaps your mind goes first to a time when you were a young person, feeling invincible and like you could change the world all on your own. Although they may have lost their childhood belief in magical moments, youth have their own capacity for believing in goodness, in brightness, in the power of a just cause. And then we grow up. Adulting, they call it now. The grind of bills, jobs, repairs to cars and houses, the cares of being a grown-up who, it turns out, doesn't get to eat ice cream every day for dinner after all. Someone might say that we've lost the magic, that we're prosaic and humdrum and pragmatic now. I don't completely believe that, though. Maybe you don't either. Do you know why I don't believe that? Because we keep telling stories in life and in fiction where that's not true. We keep finding ways to reclaim the magic just for a moment, a chapter, a day. Because last year, they released a movie about a grown-up Christopher Robin, not only returning to Pooh Corner, but bringing a little bit of Pooh Corner back with him. The year before that, it was a live-action Beauty and the Beast movie. When I saw it, the theater was full of grown-ups, not kids. I was working in a library when the first Harry Potter books came out, and I remember parents coming in to renew the books because they had started a chapter to check it out, make sure it was okay for their kids, and ended up reading the whole book. Their kids never even got to see it. And 2 decades later, those children are now reading the books to their own kids. More than once, a parent, grandparent, auntie or uncle has told me, and I agree from my own life, that one of the fun parts of having children in your world, in your life, is that you have an excuse to play with toys again. So no, I don't believe we've given up the magic for good. Sometimes, though, we forget it for a little while. Sometimes the problems seem too pervasive, the sadness too much, the stress is too heavy to carry. A lot of people have shared with me personally and on social media that they're feeling some of that right now. And I think we need to honor that. There too, I think the kids know something we don't or have forgotten. Life doesn't have to be all sunshine for the magic to happen. Because children's movies, fairy tales, books have a surprising number of dark moments. From Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf, Hansel and Gretel's witch with her gingerbread house, to Bambi's mother and Elsa's ice powers, the most beloved children's stories are not all sweetness and light. And still, in spite of all that is dark, these stories hold wonder for generations of children and adults too. It's not just fiction, either. The movie Life is Beautiful was based on a Holocaust memoir, and it told the story of a father who made a game for his son out of their life in the concentration camp. We need to hold space for all of our feelings and experiences, not just the happiness, not just the magic. But holding and honoring all our feelings doesn't mean giving up on the magic either. Regardless of where you hang your political hat, it cannot be denied that the last few years have felt like everyone we knew was or is at everyone else's throats. Peter Pan may have it right that all the world is made of faith and trust and pixie dust, but some days it really doesn't feel like it. And I think the adolescents, the young adults, have something to teach us then. In many ways, I consider myself a child of the 60s and 70s. For those of you who may have just taken a moment to do the math in your head, you're right. I'm just peeking around the corner into my 40s now. But I believe there's a special corner of our heart that's reserved for the music we grew up with, the music our souls call home. And for me, that's Simon and Garfunkel, Cat Stevens, Peter, Paul, and Mary. These are just a few of the songs that sing my heart, my soul, my childhood. I've joked to friends before that it's no wonder I grew up to be comfortable with holding multiple identities in tension. I was raised on protest songs by two evangelical army veterans. For some of you, maybe the songs of the Vietnam War era bring back memories of days when you might have been, like many people are today, on one side of a protest line or the other. While the song we heard just before the sermon, For What It's Worth, which is of course better known for a line of its chorus, Stop, Hey, What's That Sound? While it's often included in the list of anti-war songs from the era, it was actually written in response to a series of protests that turned violent. And it was later revised to reflect the Kent State shootings just 3 years after. I'd like to take a closer look as we move through this sermon at some of the lyrics from that song, because I feel like those lessons still hold true for us today. On their own, the song's iconic opening lines could be an anthem for anyone who's living in a season of change. Change within the world, change within society, change within our own personal lives. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Change breeds uncertainty, and one of the things we adults are really good at is resisting change. In fact, that's what the very next verse of the song is about. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. There's a joke about how each generation, at some point, becomes the generation grumbling about these kids nowadays, when the truth is that we all used to be these kids ourselves. I've done it about technology, for sure. learned to type on the typewriter. I'm part of the Xennials, the microgeneration, perpetually caught between digital and analog. Tech is not my first language. So digital natives are confusing and frustratingly opaque to me as well. But generational tips about newfangled inventions and styles, let's not forget the tuxedo was once considered shockingly informal, are far from the only things that each set of young people brings to the table. If children have the market cornered on wonder, young people, perhaps, are the keepers of passion and action. It turns out that the car rental companies had it right all along. It's not until age 25 or so that our brains finish developing the impulse control we'll need later in life. During the coming years, especially the decades called the sandwich years, when you're caught between the needs of younger and older generations in your life. And that impulse control and those increasing responsibilities, those are good things in our lives. The more candles on my cake each year, the more grateful I am to have the life I do. You actually couldn't pay me enough to go back to 18 or 21 or 25. I'm gonna stop. There is an indefinable something, though, a sort of generational je ne sais quoi, held in trust for all of us by the young people who are in those threshold years between childhood and adulthood. A willingness to dive in, to stand behind what they believe, to ignore the obstacles and ignore those who say it can't be done. I think there's a reason why so many startups are helmed by young people. They don't listen to the fact that what they want to do is impossible. And so somehow, they do or create it anyway. Buffalo Springfield says, 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say, hooray for our side. Well, that'll preach, and maybe step on your toes a little bit like it did on mine. Protecting what we value always, always, requires that we listen to more than just our own solutions, more than just our own side. The proverbial self-licking ice cream cone will not help us make positive change in our world. It'll just keep us huddled in our own tribes. And there are major problems facing our world. Hunger, poverty, violence, hatred. We can only fix those with everyone working together. 2 years ago this August, not too far south of us in Charlottesville, hatred killed a young woman. 1 year ago in June, also not too far away in Annapolis, hatred killed 5 journalists. We can't fix any of that, carrying signs that say, hooray for our side. We have to find a way forward together to solutions that really work to curb violence and hatred, solutions that heal our communities, but solutions that do not deny the inherent worth and dignity of each person. We have to work together, yes, and that work must be on the side of justice. So it's on us. My beliefs don't align religiously with my evangelical upbringing anymore. But here's what I think. That I and those around me really got right then. Every person was charged to go out and save as many people as they could, to bring as many people with them as possible. I believe now that we save each other and that it's on us with whatever privileges we have to sound a loving drumbeat for dignity, for justice, for creating the world here that we want to pass on to our children. here's what I hear the young people of today saying. The same thing that each of our generations asked of the ones that went before us. Don't get so comfortable and consumed by your adulting that you forget about love, hope, and peace for all of us. The hook of For What It's Worth from the very first chorus is the part that ties this whole thing together. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Did you notice what they do there with who they address? It's the children who are hearing the sound, asking everyone to sit up and take notice. They, the children and youth, they hear things we don't. Wonder and passion are so very real for them, and that is so important to our own lives and faith development. In the Christian New Testament, the prophet Jesus reminds us to be as little children. Jewish Rabbi Zvi Friedman says that to live is to delight in life like a child. And wonder is such a critical element for us as you use that it's reflected in our first source, that of direct experience of the transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. In the book The Polar Express, the protagonist reflects on his own journey of wonder, saying, "At one time, most of my friends could hear the bell, but as years passed, it fell silent for all of them. Though I've grown old, the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe. When we retain that connection to wonder, hope is never truly lost, and anything is possible." I'll close with one more quote from the Rabbi Friedman. "The child demands a fair and perfect world, and the child is right. The kids are all right." Let's spend a little bit of time learning from them, to see the magic, to fight for what we believe, and to make the world right. So may it be.